So we're going to look today again at breaking the curse, how to break the curse. And we've been going over this for several weeks. This is the third installment. And the reason why I went with this series is that as a pastor, I kind of observe things. I try to study things that are going on in people's lives. And, you know, I really feel that God wants us to be aware of different things that are trying to operate here in this world that are contrary to Him. And if we're not walking or living in victory, then I think we need to look for some solutions to those questions, right? So I want to throw this information out just to try to, you know, encourage us to look for some solutions, you know, found in God's Word. So we're going to continue today, Break the Curse, Part 3. Now, I'm not much on, you know, some of them animated movies, but as I was doing this, I thought of one. I don't think of him very much. Finding Nemo, right? How many have probably seen that movie a long time ago, perhaps? I think they've had some sequels, but I'm afraid I've missed those. But in the movie Finding Nemo, he was trying to, you know, find somebody. See, I don't even know who it was. It might have been his dad or I don't remember. But anyway, what I got out of it was that one of his goals was to get in the East Australian Current, right? Do you remember that part where that turtle, he was kind of a surfer dude? He talked kind of, kind of gnarly or whatever, all that kind of stuff. He was kind of a hipster or whatever. But anyway, he was on his back. And anyway, they hopped in that current. And when they did, that current was so strong that it just took them to the destination really fast, because they were in the current. Now, if you go against the current, that's difficult. But I think it's similar in a lot of ways when it comes to God. I think God has a flow. And God kind of flows a certain way. And when we choose to hop in that current, you know, we start to flow with Him. And I believe when we start to flow with Him, then we start to experience His blessing. And that's what I want for each and every one of us, is to be able to experience that blessing, just not every now and then, but on a continual basis. Now, we're going to look at a scripture here in a moment, and it has a startling statement. It says, the blessings of God are going to kind of chase you down, going to come to you and overtake you. Now, if we're not operating in that, then we need to kind of look for some answers, because that's where God, I believe, wants us to be. He wants us to be able to be flowing in that blessing, and it's available. And I would love to continually experience that blessing. And I think there's ways that we can do it. Now, a little recap, like I mentioned, we're on part three here. First week, we kind of looked at the idea of the cross of Christ and how it satisfied every legal requirement that God had to be able to pay for the sins of mankind. You know, God, as well as a loving God, He's also a just God. So justice had to be paid for. Just like if you break the law, if you run a stop sign or do speeding, usually you get a ticket. And that ticket is kind of like sin, right? You've done something wrong. Well, usually, not all the time. I don't get warnings. I'm not good enough looking, I guess, you know. But I get the ticket. Now, I haven't had tickets for a long time. I think maybe, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago I got one. I thought I was late for a track meet. Little did I know, I wouldn't have been. But anyway, I had a little ticket then. But before that, it had been, you know, years, 15, 20 years. I just putt around and, you know, enjoy my life like that. I like to look at the flowers and all the stuff off to the side. But anyway, if you break the law, somebody's got to pay. And that judge or the state or whoever will not be satisfied until that legal requirement has been made. And that's what Jesus Christ did for you and I. He paid the legal requirement, so now that we can go free, we don't have to pay it anymore. So the idea was to get from the legal to the vital, meaning the legal side, the contract of our redemption, just like a marriage certificate. When you have one of those, you're legally married. But that doesn't mean your marriage is functioning properly, right? How many have, don't raise your hand, I don't want to know. Well, I do kind of want to know. Every head bowed and eye closed. No, I'm kidding. How many have a piece of paper that says they're married, but they would admit that their marriage is not where it needs to be? You know, see, so there's that, the action side of it that we need to work on to get to where the perfect side is. So that's kind of what we looked at. Then last week we went into some little deeper water. I just wanted to throw it out there just for thinking about it, was how curses can follow families. And we looked at the idea of familiar spirits, right? You know how those kind of worked. And in Acts 16, the girl who had the fortune teller, and she was making a lot of money for her masters. And, you know, she started talking about the Apostle Paul, how he's a man of God, and Paul had nothing to do with it, and he cast that demon out, cast that spirit out of her. And then she was just worthless to her masters anymore, dealt with that devil. But see, familiar spirits have been around a long time, and some of them attached to families. Like certain families have issues of poverty. They have lack. No matter how much money they make, just never have enough. Maybe they have the idea of, you know, alcoholism and different addictions in their life, something that happens that way. So these things can get attached to families, and then we looked at how to break that curse, and we're going to kind of follow up with that today a little bit. So today we're going to jump in to the idea of what God was saying. Now, Deuteronomy 28 should be a scripture we're familiar with from time to time, because it does talk about the blessings and the curse. Now, Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments which I command you today, and the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today. We honor you. We pray for your presence, Lord, just to permeate this place. That, Lord, he who the Son sets free is truly free indeed. Lord, right now we just thank you. This resist the devil in any way, shape, or form. Lord, I thank you for the gift you've given me, that you put inside of me. And Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gift of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, so as we looked at this, remember, you know, the reason why I gave you the assignment to read Deuteronomy 28, those of you who read it, you kind of see why. It's fairly lengthy, isn't it? It has some information in there. First, it talks about the blessing, and then it talks about the curse. Well, also the previous chapter, which I said was for extra credit, was Deuteronomy 27, and that's where I'm going to start today, just a little bit, to explain a little something. Now, the first point I want to see is there's two sides to every story, right? A lot of times there's always two sides to every story. Now, most of us parents would probably agree that our children can come up and tell us two different stories about the same situation. Right? We've all experienced that. So it's up to us to sort out the truth and the facts and kind of, you know, get to the real truth of what's really there. So with the two sides to every story, so in order to do that, sometimes we need to step back and we need to see the big picture. Like if we're living our life and we're not functioning, if the blessings of God aren't chasing us down, you know, and we looked at some of that last week too about how, you know, sometimes the devil just don't like you, and that's okay. If the devil likes you, I would be worried, right? That means you're one of his helpers. We don't want that. So if we're out doing the things of God and working for God and serving the kingdom, yeah, there's going to be some attacks. I understand that. But I'm talking about a situation that we know that's going on in our life, that no matter what we do, that we just can't shake this curse. These problems that just continually ask are hindering our life. So we've got to ask God for answers. So sometimes you just step back, see the big picture. Another option is just to look at it from a different angle. Sometimes just that little tweak, maybe going to talk to somebody and getting some counsel. Because I feel in life, and what I found out personally, it's all about our vantage point. Now, I've learned that because I'm short, right? Sometimes when you're short, you can't really see everything. You know, if you're at a concert, you know, how many's had to sit behind the guy at the cowboy hat? You know what I mean? Come on. You wear a cowboy hat? Give me a break, man. Take it off. You know, let everybody see. But see, if you can't see, you can't really tell what's going on. And so sometimes we just got to move around. And I know since I started preaching down on the ground, I'll see some of you bobbing your heads a little bit. I get kind of a kick out of it. I have very little fun in life, so that's one of the fun things I get. But anyway, so it's about our vantage point. So there's two ways that we can live our life, and that's blessed or cursed. That's just the way it is. And we need to understand just how it is that we can get to the place that we want to be. Now, the story in Deuteronomy 27, there was 12 tribes, and what God did, because he wanted to imprint this on their brain so they could understand it, he had six of the tribes go over and stand on Mount Ebal. Everybody say Mount Ebal. That's not technically how you pronounce it, but I'm from southern Iowa, and I don't think we can. Now, that one's close. To me, it is. But the next one's really hard, and that's why I'm just going to do my phonetic pronunciation. And the other six tribes went to Mount Gerizim. That's not how you say it in Hebrew. I have a little app where I can hit it, and there's no way I know we'd hit that one right, so I just gave up. Now, I don't know about you, but if God's going to show something, how many would be kind of a bummed out if God picked you as one of the six that gets to go stand on the curse side? You know, be honest. I mean, gosh, what are you doing here, God? I've been kind of faithful. You know, but, you know, it wasn't that they were saying they were cursed, but that would kind of bother me. You know, I'd rather be on the blessing side of things. You know, if God's going to use an illustration, you know, I would rather he use me if this is what you should be doing instead of this is what you should not be doing. You know, but anyway, that's what God did, and he had him stand there. And then down in the middle between the two little mountains was the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. So what happened then is that the six tribes were on the curse side, six tribes were on the blessing side. The Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, is in the middle. And then the priest started to speak, and he started talking about the curses, especially in chapter 27, was about the curses. Then went on into Deuteronomy 28, then he started to say the blessings and the curses. So then the people could have kind of a picture. Now, I'd like my helper to stand up, and Chaz is going to represent today Team Curse. Everybody go, boo. No, I'm just kidding. Don't boo him. He's a nice boy. He's a nice boy. And then over here, I have Emma, my beautiful assistant. She's Team Blessing, okay? Yay. Yeah, yeah. So they're there, and that's just what it's like. And then it's kind of like in a football game. You have two end zones, right? And one's your goal. Now, what's our goal in life? Would we want to be on Team Curse? Or do we want to be on Team Blessing? Amen? You guys can sit down for a minute. Thank you. So, that's kind of what it's like. And then in the 50-yard line, that's where the ball starts. So, which direction do you want to go? Do we want to go and settle and just live under the curse, or do we want to turn and go towards the blessing and find out what all that's all about? So as the priests were there, they were speaking out the options. Now, I personally like options. I don't know if you do or not, but I like to choose. You know, God's given me that great gift. The greatest gift God's given you is the gift of choice. So he would tell you, if you do this, you get this, but if you do that, you get that. So there's the choices, and the choices are us, and are up to us. Now, what I want us to remember, because unless we place ourselves in the situation, it's hard to imagine. Now, here's the people he was talking to. These were the children of the ones who were disobedient. These were the children whose parents were afraid of the giants and rejected God, shall we say, to some degree. They didn't reject him far as following him, because they had to. But they rejected the fact that he could take them to where he needed them to be, into the promised land. So here's these kids that was raised in the desert. And they had been going in circles for 40 years. Now, there was a couple little temptations for them. But it wasn't going to be near like where they were heading. Because they were heading into the place where there was a bunch of false gods that worshiped sexual deities and all these different things to get them to chase after, because fertility was very important for agriculture people. They wanted to have the ground so it would produce, because you no food, no eat, no, you die, right? So you wanted to have produce. You wanted to have that. So that's how they got off, and they started, you know, worshiping these things. And it was demonically induced. So here's the people, and God was giving them a fresh start. We're going to reboot this, you know, like you restart your computer, you know, and kind of clearing everything out, wanting to make sure they understood all the parameters, all the choices that was going to happen. So God told them, if you do this, you get this, but if you do that, you're going to get that. Choice was theirs. God didn't beat them up with a stick. God didn't tell them, you have to do this, you don't have to. None of us have to walk in the blessings of God. That's a fact. God will not make you be blessed. But who would not want to? But as you study the whole Old Testament, king after king, how some of the kings could be good and then how some of them could make the wrong choice is kind of hard to get your head around. How all these things. So this picture was burned into their mind that God had them separated on two things, and you had to choose. You had to pick one. You couldn't have both. Some try, but you got to pick one or the other. And that's what God was wanting them to decide to do. Now, with God, against God, right? How many got that movie correlation now? I've done that before. Nobody got it. It's a Tom Cruise thing, ain't it? Yeah, night and day. Yeah, with God, with me, without me. With me, without me. You guys will have to go rent the movie now. Okay, next point is two choices, the two choices they had. Now, Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 14 tells about the blessing that you and I can have. Now, the word blessing kind of talks about good gifts that spring from God's grace and favor towards God's obedient people. Now, this is something that we need to understand. Now, nobody's perfect, right? I'm sure, hopefully we're understanding it's not about perfection. Because none of us are perfect. We all have the sin nature. So don't just put that out of your head. You don't have to be perfect to get God's blessings. Because if we think we have to be perfect, we're never going to make it, right? So get beyond that idea. So, but it's talking about the idea there's grace and there's things there. All we have to do is be willfully obedient from the heart. Meaning we're wanting that. Now sometimes we may fall short. So here's some of the blessings. It talks about you have to do two things. It says listening to God's voice and doing what God says. Those are the two things. Now, listening to God's voice is the first step. You got to pay attention, right? You got to pay attention. But then there's the next step, and that's where sometimes we fail. Because sometimes we just listen. Oh yeah, that's good. Yeah, I can see God doing that. Huh, that's cool. But see, God wants us to do then. It's about doing it. So that's how we really start to tap into the flow. So what it is if you do that, is first thing you're going to get is exaltation. You're going to be lifted up. God said, you know, as a nation especially, our country needs this. And we know that sometimes we walk in obedience, sometimes we don't. And we can see why some of the problems happen in our lives that it does. But it talks about God promises one of the blessings is exaltation. Next one is health. Then we have fertility. Now that could be for reproduction of human beings, you know, is one. But also the idea of your ground being able to produce and do things like that. Next one's just basic prosperity. Then we have victory. And then we have God's favor. Always like this part, be the head, not the tail. Whenever I see that, I think of the mascot. You know, two people are going to be the horse. Which one would you rather be? Amen? I want to be the head. You know, I don't want to be in that costume and be the other part, the other end. You know what I mean? You know, I want to be that part. So if that sounds fun to you, if you want to be a part of that, well, that's the blessing and that God said can chase you down. These things are going to start to operate and start to flow in our life so that we can be able to experience the goodness of God. Now, one thing that we have to remember, and I don't want to forget to say this, we're blessed to be a blessing. Don't ever forget that. We are blessed to be a blessing. And if we forget that part, then we start to keep it all to ourselves and then we start to get in trouble. Now, the curse was quite lengthy. That's verse 15 to 68. Now, to me, a curse is talking about living in a place of lack of God's grace and favor due to disobedience. Now, we're all disobedient from time to time. Like I said, we're not perfect. But overall, what is our passion What is our purpose on what we want to do? Now, what happened if you're living under the curse? That happened by not listening to God's voice and then not doing what God says. I wonder if that's why sometimes we don't read the Bible. Ignorance is bliss, right? If we don't know about it. But see, that's not really how it works for a Christian. You know, we need to make sure that we understand and do it. Now, here's what happens if we're living under the curse. Humiliation. You know, especially as a nation and as a people and as in our own lives. You know, we're not exalted anymore. We don't, people look at us and they look at us with a negative eye, shall we say. So that can happen. Next one is mental and physical sickness. As I mentioned before, you know, there's sickness in this world. But if for all apparent reasons we can't figure out, the doctors can't understand what's going on, and you're constantly walking in sickness and disease, well, I would treat it like a... you're not wrong to bind up that spirit or go against it. It's not going to hurt you, is it? And to treat it like a spiritual thing, let the doctor do his thing. But you, as a Christian, you can use your faith to be able to come against that and bind up that spirit that's maybe trying to attach itself to you and your family, and mental illness and all these things, and how that works, anxiety, you know, all these things, you know, the enemy wants to come against us. Why? He wants to hold us back. He doesn't want us to be able to walk in that blessing. Because if you're walking in the blessing, then you're going to attract people. You know, in the natural, we may not look at ourselves as the most attractive person that ever walked the planet, right? I've always said, I'll never win a beauty contest, but then I don't want to. But I do want to be spiritually attractive. There's a difference. When we're spiritually attractive, we draw people. They can see the blessing upon us, and they want what we have. You know, times in my life, people, when I was out and about, so you know, and talking and doing things, they would say, there's something different about you. In a good way, they say, you know, to clarify. But there's something different about you. You know, what's going on? So then you get to share your faith. What God's doing. How real God is and what He's doing in our life. And then we can be able to draw them to Him. You know, then there's a breakdown of family and you know, the idea of infertility. And, you know, how I mentioned, you know, it could be for reproducing kids, but also just producing our life and different things. You know, families are under attack. They're under attack. And it's getting worse instead of better in our nation. Because it's a breakdown. Satan wants to continually bombard us and bombard our children and all these things that go on, trying to divide and trying to split up the family, because where there's unity, there is power, right? And if we're living under the curse, we don't have the power that God says that He'll supply, because He wants to bring that division, the enemy does, so that we cannot function and flow the way that God wanted. So that's where strife comes in and all these things. Also, there's poverty, you know, living in lack. You know, and you know, sometimes it's management issues, it can be, and sometimes maybe we just don't have a lucrative of a job. But, you know, poverty can be a curse. You know, just if we've opened the door for the devil, and we looked at that, and I don't want to, you can listen to that message last week online and find out about some of that stuff. Talking about defeat. You know, if we're always walking around defeated or we feel oppression, you know, sometimes, you know, we just feel oppressed of the devil. Satan comes in, he's trying to hold us down and just push us down, and all these things are attacking us. It's kind of bummer, ain't it? All the stuff the devil tries to do to us. Failure. And then God's disfavor. So, if we can look in our life, and we can look at these patterns, and we can kind of tell, hey, you know, maybe I'm blessed, man. Maybe I'm doing good, and I don't have to deal with some of that stuff. And so, I just say, keep your shield of faith up, and charge, amen? Yeah, charge, go after it. But let's say you are under some sort of attack, you know, in your life and in your family. You know, there's things you can do. We're going to go to some of those things in a minute. But something keeps bubbling out of my mind here, and I don't want to dismiss it. But, you know, oppression. You know, there's a lot of people that struggle with oppression in their life. And we wonder why they respond or don't respond to us like they should. And they're under attack, people. You know, we can pray for them, but also encourage them. You know, play some praise and worship. Start playing that in your house. Start to change, you know, chase those devils away. If there's a God, there's a devil. Scripture talked about how Saul the king, when he opened the door for the devil, spirits would come and they would torment him. The only way he could get rid of those spirits was when, you know, David came and played, or they played music, and it would chase those away. So if you're struggling with some oppression in your family, you know, we're so blessed as a nation and as a people now. I mean, when I got saved, there was no YouTube and things like that. You can just plug on some worship music and just let that go, and, you know, build some playlists, and just let that play kind of low in your house, and just, you know that you're just put. See, the devil doesn't like our worship. He doesn't like us to come in, because that's where the presence of God is. And when we get into that, then we're in the God's presence, and, you know, that's why Satan tries to hinder us from entering in like that. So that's just a little bit about the patterns. Okay, lastly, we're going to see the two ways. Two ways. Now, walking in blessing needs to be a way of life for us. That should be our goal. We should want to, because it, you know, not to mention it's going to be more comfortable, you know, and I don't know about you, I like to be comfortable, you know. I like to have food in the cupboard, don't you? You know, I like to have, if I want to go buy something that I need, I like to be able to just go pay for it, not have to borrow for it, amen?
Amen.
So, the head and not the tail. The head, not the tail. You know? And if we can get to that place, and God says we can, well, then I think we ought to head that way. So how we do that is to diligently obey. So it's going to take a reformatting the way that we live our life. And I think what happens when we diligently obey, then you and I have the opportunity to walk in systematic success. And what I mean by that is you get into a pattern. I'll be honest. Now, some people don't maybe think I'm blessed. I don't know if they do or not, and I don't really care. But I consider myself a blessed person. I am blessed. And there's times the blessings of God do chase me down. I would consider myself, you know, in the blessing side of where I am with my life. You know, but, you know, yeah, I don't have new cars, but I'll be honest. Cars are nothing to me. They're a tool. They're not a toy for me. Some people enjoy them. That's fine. You know, I live in an older house, but it's paid for. I'll be honest, I could go the rest of the year and not ever have to go to work. I am blessed. I am blessed. But see, I've learned to walk in the obedience side. You know, like I said, but, you know, you may have higher standards than me. I don't know. Maybe you want a mansion and all that, and that's fine. Hey, I wish everybody in the church at 101 have a Cadillac or whatever kind of car, as long as you can pay for it. I want you to be blessed. I don't care. But whatever blessed is to you, and it's well within God's parameters, you know, because we have to go after God, and if we go after God, then we'll go after the right things, right? Instead of letting things drive us. You know, I was just thinking about this the other day, you know, years ago when we was in the other building, you know, some young people in the church, you know, when they got out of high school, they went and bought new cars, you know, and it was the worst mistake they made, because then they got saddled down to a payment that they could barely afford. And given their age with the insurance and all that, and then wanting to go to college, and it was a lot of pressure for them. They just didn't really enjoy it. They couldn't enjoy the vehicle. You know, but they made a wrong choice. Now, God got them out of it. You know, and things worked out. Some of them end up selling their vehicles and different things. But, you know, primarily if we just go after God, and then all the things will start to fall into place, and then we'll start to understand what it is that He has for us. Now, delayed obedience, to me, is still disobedience, because it's not from the heart. You know, like I've always, you know, if I have a little kid here and I tell him to sit down, if he's acting up and he don't sit down, but I've been working out, you guys all know that, right? I could put my hand on his head and I can push him down. Why? Because I'm stronger than him. That'd be delayed. He's not obeying me from the heart. He's obeying me because I'm stronger than he is. But see, God wants us to obey from the heart. And when we obey from the heart, then we start to walk in the blessing. And that's what's going to get us to be consistent. And it's not just trying it, but it's a lifestyle. So we need to be careful. You know, pay attention and put it into action and make it a priority. Then we're going to get to that place where we want to be, that the blessings of God will overtake us. Now, when it talks about that in Scripture, it says that the blessings are going to catch up to you and they're going to pass you because you're both heading the same direction. Amen? You're both heading the same direction. See, like I said, God has a flow. God has a current. And when we choose to get into that current and we start to get into that flow, that's where all the blessings are. That's where we start to get into it. And it's the blessings of God, His stream of blessing is stronger than that East Australian current that, you know, Nemo was in. So how do we get from Ebal to Gerizim, or from curse to blessing? If I could have my assistant stand up again here. You know, if we're living like we're cursed, we need to change our vantage point, right? We need to see it with a fresh set of eyes to see where we're coming from and to see where we're going. Now, we need to first come down off our mountain. Now, Team Curse over here, the reason why they got into that is because of two things, you know. It's the mountain called self primarily, and on that mountain is selfishness and self-exaltation. Those are two things that trip you and I up. Because when we worry more about ourselves than we worry about other people and God, then we start to get off in that bad flow. So how do we fix that? Okay, Team Curse has to come this way and go to Team Blessing, kind of walk this way. Now, look what happens when he comes through the presence of God. See how it changed? Yay. Amen. When you go through God's presence, see, I wrote this script, so that's why I got to play the part of God today. Amen. Yeah. That's why I noticed some actors direct and produce their own movies. That way they get the good part. But anyway, when they come through the presence of God, remember the Ark of the Covenant was the presence of God. That's where the presence of God was. And see, that's why you and I need to get into God's presence. You guys can sit down if you want. Thanks. That's why you and I need to get into God's presence. Because in God's presence is fullness of joy. That's how things turn around. No matter how oppressed you may feel, no matter how many things seem to be going wrong in your life, I guarantee you, if you get into the presence of God, your situation is going to turn around. The enemy is defeated. Now, I've watched this. You know, Satan's really been kicking up his heels lately. Ever since I started this series, I've watched a lot of attacks because he doesn't want to be exposed. See, Satan likes to wear camouflage. He tries to disguise himself in our lives. He tries to come in from different angles and doing different things and gets us distracted so that we can't really tell what he's up to. But see, once we find him out and we kick him out, you know, but that only happens by the entrance of God's word will bring light. Brings light to that situation and everything that God has to do. Now, remember the four steps. If you think that you're experiencing some sort of attack or some sort of curse in your life, is number one, you got to recognize it. Recognize the curse. Like I said, you don't have to go sorting through your whole life, get out the family album, start flipping the pages, you know, and try to figure out who brought cursings into your family or what you've done. You know, like we looked at last week, David experienced the curse of Saul upon his kingdom, even though he never did anything. He asked God, and God told him. So if you're asking God, God, is there what's caused the curse in my family, or why is this going on? If God doesn't reveal it to you, just keep moving. Amen? Don't get all hung up. Don't get all burdened down about things and all that stuff. So then after you recognize the curse, then you need to repent. Oh, we love to repent, don't we? Not. You know, we have to accept the fact that maybe we did something wrong or something happened. Maybe you have unforgiveness in your life. Maybe somebody done you wrong song. Just keeps playing over and over in your head. Maybe you've got bitterness because somebody did something bad and, you know, hurting you or hurting a friend of yours or a child or something, whatever the case may be. You got to let that go. You can't hold on to that because that will bring, you know, bad tidings your way, shall we say. Then we need to renounce it if there was a cultic. Remember, I mentioned last week how I got involved with transcendental meditation a little bit, and all that brought into my life a little and stuff like that. So I had to renounce any cultic activity, anything, you know, what that was. Just want to break any ties. Just break that chain and let it go. And then all we have to do is just resist the devil in our life. Because just because he let go doesn't mean he's going to not try to come back and attack us. We're going to be under attack until Jesus comes. That's just the way it is. I could lie to you and tell you that, oh, just give your heart to Jesus. You'll never have another problem. But that wouldn't be true. I wouldn't be doing my job. Because you would be under attack as soon as you leave this place. And then the devil's going to attack you. Then you're going to start doubting God loves you and things like that. No, sometimes this attacks come. That's just the way it is. We got to fight. We got to fight the good fight of faith. We need to fight for our families. We need to fight for our children. We need to fight for all relationships. We need to fight for the lost. Those people that are the God of this world has blinded. And we just need to resist Satan and come against him with everything that we have and fight the good fight continually until Jesus comes. Amen? Amen. And when we do that, you know, I like to have a purpose in life. Amen? I'm just not hanging out for the rapture bus. You know, I just didn't get saved and I'm just going to check out now and just wait till Jesus comes. No. I want to go and get everybody I can. You know, one thing I've learned as a pastor, takes me a while, but I've learned this one, is the fact that I can only help people when they come, and that we can only reach the lost when we go get them. Two things. We need to go get the lost, and Christians need to come. And as we come together, that corporate anointing is going to be here. It's going to be able to make a difference and a change in our life so that we can start to operate in the things of God where He wants us. Amen? Let's bow in prayer.